everyone. We're back at it after the shortest weekend known to man. It's Frantastic Monday once again. The natural order of things has been healed. Francesca, welcome back. See, what? My weekend was short. Francesca doesn't even really get one. So how was the Vituation Room on what I call Sunday?
It was so good. Thanks for asking. That's my podcast. Everyone should check out YouTube/FrannyFio. Bridget Todd, who's been on the Damage Report, was on, and she is just so good and wonderful. And then James Fritz, a comedian everyone should know, hilarious guy. We had a great time talking about you know, weird anti-trans stings happening in spas in LA. That was one of the weirder stories we covered, but it was great. And everyone should listen.
Sometimes I think that our country doesn't deserve to be saved. Anyway.
All the time. Every day I have that moment.
Well, that sounds fun. So everyone go check out the Bituation Room. Francesca, it's glad we're glad to have you back. Last week was a little bit chaotic, but now we've got you here. And it is a Monday, which means a new top 10 list is coming. And it was suggested by Francesca, who is in a bit of an apocalyptic mood based on her suggestions to me. So we're gonna be doing the top 10 things we would want to do on our last day on this earth, were it to be, you know, under threat of destruction like that could ever happen.
You know, before Jesus comes.
Exactly, before he touches back down on earth, here are the things we're gonna do. So that'll be up on our YouTube channel a little bit later on today for our tier 2 and tier 3 YouTube members. So look forward to that. And look forward to, through the course of this hour, we are fresh off of a CPAC, so I had to absorb a lot of that fresh hell. And now I'm going to, like in the movie It Follows, pass it on to you. And so we're gonna talk about what happened at CPAC. We also have an absolutely massive meanwhile in coming up in our last third of the show. So look forward to that. It's news from around the world and out of this world. So that should be exciting. As well as, let's see, we've got a Karen, a repeat Karen. When have we ever had a Karen that had previously been discussed on the show? But we found one today, as well as some other news. It'll be fun and awesome and all that. And thank you for being here, everybody. Please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already. And as we go through, if you want to send us super chats, tweets, comments, anything like that. I see that a hype train has started on Twitch. Thank you very much, Ghost Dog, for resubscribing. Much appreciated. We will respond as we go. But that said, Francesca, are you ready to do this thing?
Yes.
Now, I always ask that question and you just sort of rotely say yes, but it's about to get weird. You don't actually, I'm gonna go either way. Okay. So hold on to your butts, buckle up as we launch into this. And by the way, let me just say right off the bat before we really start, I have been waiting to talk about this for like 3 days now. So sorry, it's gonna happen. The secret plan to get Donald Trump back into the presidency has been revealed. It is very, very simple. So simple that it could fit on a business card. And it's been distributed in CPAC, so you know, not that secret anymore. But we're gonna break it down, because if you don't want Trump back as president, you need to be prepared to do whatever is necessary to stop this plan, which is definitely coming. So it's a 7-part plan. The first part has multiple parts, as you'll see. So here it is. Reveal Achilles heel. Pull back the curtain on the horror show that is today's Democrat party, in quotation marks, which means he doesn't respect it. Watch Pelosi melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. See the Black Caucus and other key groups flip unexpectedly and watch the tables turn. So that's one part.
That's got to do sound like effects.
A lot.
I'm, as you go, I'm doing sound effects. Okay. Tables turn. Wicked Witch of the West. Oh no, what a world. Oh, my Manolo Blahniks in my big fridge.
I love that it's like, no, here's a serious plan to replace the president. Okay. But it's so petty that like they have to call Pelosi the Wicked Witch of the West. They have to put quotations around Democrat Party. It's one part that incorporates pulling back the curtain, watching Pelosi melt, multiple groups flip, and then the tables turn. That's part one.
Yeah, it feels like part one has like about 4 parts to it. But anyway, keep going. Yeah.
And what's pull back the curtain? Well, But I want to do this. I want Trump to be president again. I want patriots to soar like in your website. So how do I do that? I don't know how to pull the curtain back. That's vague. You need to be specific.
Well, it's but all also, an allegory. I mean, it is all just what's the movie? I'm like somewhere over the rainbow.
You're speaking of the Wizard of Oz.
Thank God it hasn't been canceled yet. I know all wizard
stuff.
I know. Yeah. So this is just Oz. So it's like turn into a dog, pull back curtain of Wizard of Oz. Then wait a minute. I'm just describing the Wizard of Oz. Let's keep going and see if it continues along that pattern.
Yes. So a couple of other issues. I love when you can't even have like internal consistency in the logic of your argument. So part one of the plan to get Trump back says, see the Black Caucus and other key groups flip unexpectedly and watch the tables turn. But wait, why is it unexpectedly? It's part one on your plan, dude. You expect it. You put it on the card. But anyway, that's part one. Part two is witness a trusted conservative elected as Speaker of the House and finally reveal suppressed results of existing investigations into election racketeering. So apparently there are already these investigations that trumpcard.patriotsword.com knows about, but nobody else does. So that's cool. Number three is correct the official record, reveal that Trump legitimately won the 2020 election. That's at least concise. So I'll give them credit for that one. It's nonsensical, but it's concise. Then four, the Speaker of the House drafts articles of impeachment for Biden-Harris. Okay, I could imagine that. That's something that could actually be done. Number five, citizen Donald J. Trump. Why is he citizen Donald J. Trump? Anyway, citizen Donald J. Trump is placed into the line of presidential succession behind the vice president by electing him Speaker of the House. So
what?
But then why did you have the other person become speaker first? This is needlessly complex. This is the sort of thing that, like, you know, you get people in the writer's room and you start to cut, you know, kill your darlings, that type thing.
Yeah,
you don't
need
two speakers.
But so, I love that, like, he's like kind of being constitutional about it, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, so the election was stolen and we're gonna prove that it was stolen, but we're gonna get back into power very constitutionally. First he's Speaker of the House, and then, you know, then we will kill the first two in line. No, impeach the first two in line, and then he will become, you know, you gotta do it by the book.
Yeah, that's gonna fall apart in a couple of minutes. But yes, I do like that they want to at least, I think they start to get the idea that, wait a second, are we straying too far from our supposed love for the Constitution? Let's pretend we care about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, then Speaker of the House Donald J. Trump then calls for a vote to impeach, charge, and remove imposters Biden and Harris. Okay, that could potentially happen. So then, and this is where it gets just, it goes straight into fantasy land. Duly impeached. Don't write duly. Like, don't, yeah, I know what you're doing. You think that it's like, well, this is more official because I wrote duly. Anyway, duly impeached, charge, and remove Biden Harris, whereby, it's thereby, douche, thereby rendering all acts of said imposters while in office null and void and of no effect. That's not true. That's not how that works. Trump got impeached twice. It didn't whereby anything. So, anyway, then duly elect President Donald J. Trump. Well, why is that not part eight? You're talking about electing a new president. Like, that should be its own part.
I love how, like, we're correcting this as if it were real, number one, and not trumpcard.patriotsword.com. And also that some that other people at CPAC were like, no. See, it's one step. September. You know, like, he's coming back like Jesus. Like, it's just, they're like, why is there all this? Also, if we're going with his logic, to be Speaker of the House, you gotta get elected to the House. That's how the House works.
Yeah, I don't know. Supposedly it's not clearly delineated, and supposedly somebody who's not a representative could become. It's never happened, but I don't think that's the craziest thing in this. There's several crazy things, but anyway, as we've alluded to, it was made by a group called Patriot Soar. I think that's a mistranslation. I think it's Patriots Are High, and they translated as Patriots Soar based on the content of this.
Icarus anyway, Patriots flying too close to the sun.
So look, the group behind the 7-point plan to reinstate Trump, if you've read their 7-point plan, you probably get an idea that these are not necessarily very credible, reputable people. But if the message hasn't really gotten across, I want to give you a little bit of one of the videos on their website. It's 14 seconds. I feel like if it was 20, you'd be driven mad. You'd tear your eyes out of your head. But here's 14 seconds of the guy that He knows how this unprecedented thing in American history is going to happen.
Our deep research into the swamp at Harvard grew to include the whole Democrat playbook and Democrat skeletons to rock her world. At long last, Nancy will be speechless.
That guy has definitely sacrificed children in his basement. There's no chance. Like, you can't walk across his basement and not be on baby bones the whole time, basically.
That guy has to meet and greet his neighbors in like a legal way. Like, yes, I was convicted and did serve some time, but I'm reformed now. And that is a beautiful child you have. Anyway.
Graphic design and set design is his passion.
His child is filming that as we speak.
Yeah. Now, you might think, if we could bring up that video, you might look at that and think that he got the white balance on his camera wrong, which is why he's all red. No, that's because he's being lit by children on fire behind the camera. Anyway, not necessarily super serious, but I do love the little ways how they reveal themselves. Like, so there was the Pelosi melt, like the Wicked Witch of the West. So the part that got him most excited there, you'll note, was, and finally, Pelosi will be silent. He was just so happy about a woman not speaking anymore. That was like the thing that got him going there.
This is like, I just have to say, political conferences are hilarious because they always have crazies that are like, hey man, look at our 7-point plan. And you're like, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm going with, it's like the 5-minute abs instead of the 7-minute abs. We're gonna go over here for the 5-minute plan or the 5-step plan. But it is always, they're so littered. The left has them too. We're not above this. There's always someone who's like, hey, so here's what we gotta do. We just melt all of the coins in the country and then we abolish money, bro. And you're like, no, I'm gonna go to my next panel now. You can stop following me. Like, it's just like, I love the way that the weirdos come out to political conferences. We've got the best fans, guys. We're real. Political nerds are always a little weird. I mean, look, it's better than being into like something like, you know, Nazism, but you know, you know what I'm saying? Conference.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, everybody needs an interest. You know, like there are people who could probably fill a business card like that for all of the reasons that the argument that the Eagles could have just resolved the Lord of the Rings thing isn't true. Like everybody can get invested in something. The issue with this, and by the way, I find some of those arguments convincing. Anyway, this is sort of about the real world, which makes it a little bit scarier. Like there are people who are crazy at Comic-Con too, but they're not trying to control the world, you know?
But they're as
same insanity.
It's the same cosplay. Like Comic-Con is arguably way more fun and way more harmless. Yeah. And those people actually they have their feet on the ground at least. Like, you know, they're not actually cosplaying to overthrow a country. They're just cosplaying to be, you know, I don't know. Rosario Dawson in The Mandalorian? I can't remember that character's name.
Ahsoka Tano. Anyway.
Ahsoka Tano.
Yes, if you find, by the way, my final advice to you, if you find yourself maybe at like Politicon or something, in an elevator with the Patriot Store guy, just start screaming as loud as you can because you only have a second or two. Anyway, okay, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we have a little bit more of the substance of CPAC, their stance on vaccines, and maybe a tiny bit of Trump. Not much, but a tiny bit after that. Okay, everybody, let's get even weirder. Obviously, vaccination was a popular topic at this year's CPAC, although not for the reasons one might hope. Here is Alex Berenson, formerly of the New York Times, they love to say, talking about Biden's success at vaccination.
They were hoping, the government was hoping, that they could sort of sucker 90% of the population into getting vaccinated, and it isn't happening, right?
Okay, so he said that the nationwide effort to get people vaccinated so that they don't fry from COVID was a belief that they could sucker people. And because they haven't, that led to applause from the audience. So it wasn't just, by the way, I'm in the audience, I don't want to get vaccinated, I'm not going to do it, that's my right. It's, I'm happy other people aren't protected against COVID.
Yeah, quick follow up, sir, are you vaccinated? Well, yeah, but I'm easily duped. That's why I am a grifter trying to dupe you. See, I can't get a real job. No, I don't know this guy. Apparently, he's got a long history of all kinds of COVID misinformation. But it is, it is a self-defeating strategy to continue to lie to your base and tell them to not get vaccinated. Why? Because they might die. And if you're relying on them to vote you into power and to herald your conservative views, you might need them alive. We've been over this territory many, many times in the year 2020. And to be fair, Trump lost. So now I'm not saying that's because people weren't around to vote for him, but let's just be real. Like, if you're already gonna isolate Latinos, people of color, African Americans, women from your entire party, that's not gonna be part of your strategy. You need all the people you can get because we're growing.
Yeah. I partially disagree with you about that they need to wise up to the fact that they're killing their audience. I think that we need, like, for all the joking, and like I feel the need to laugh right now. We need to be very serious. They have made a calculation. They have looked out there, they have tracked the news day by day, week by week, month by month, and they have made the determination that it is better for them to use this as a rallying cry, even if, you know, to make the omelet, you gotta crack some conservative eggs. Not enough people are dying for them to turn against it. If COVID was killing, you know, 100,000 conservatives a day, I think they'd turn against it. But they are very, very comfortable with the number of people who are dying based on their strategy right now. In the pre-show, I talked about a nurse in Louisiana who had spent the last year talking about how the vaccine won't be safe. You, like, the lockdowns are just social experimentation. And she died of COVID. So, like, that is just one person. And obviously, there's hundreds every day, and the numbers are going up now. They have made the determination, we can afford to lose these people. Every one of them, they're fine. Alex Berenson does not give a damn about that nurse that just died. This is his grift. He values the money more than people's lives. That is not my speculation or whatever. It is a simple, that is just a reflection of what we're seeing. Now, really fast, what do some of the more responsible people think about the fact that this is what CPAC was getting up to? Well, here is Dr. Fauci being asked about the video we just showed you.
It's horrifying. I mean, they're cheering about someone saying that it's a good thing for people not to try and save their lives. I mean, if you just unpack that for a second, Jake, it's almost frightening to say, hey, guess what? We don't want you to do something to save your life. Yay, everybody starts screaming and clapping. I just don't get that. I mean, I don't think that anybody who's thinking clearly can get that. What is that all about?
Well, look, the regular people, I think they've been duped. You know, they grew up and were educated in America, so they don't know much about science or medicine to begin with. Mm-hmm. And they have been told by literally every person they trust that this, it's better to be exposed to the virus. And I'll say again, I don't like Francesca to, like, hey, I got a prediction right or whatever, because I often don't. But I said that they would do this hard turn back in December when Tucker started doing the first steps of it. And now it's just the most uniform thing. They're all against it. Every one of them want you to simultaneously give Trump credit for getting a vaccine and make sure that nobody ever gets it because it's a commie plot from Bill Gates and Satan.
Yeah, and look, it matters because if it's not COVID-19, it's COVID-2022. It's a new pandemic. It's something else, right? Healthcare scares and anti-science beliefs will continue and continue and continue until we actually address it. And for me, you know, I'm scratching my head being like, what do we do? And honestly, we pay teachers more money. We pay them like we pay doctors, and we have tuition-free colleges and universities. That's it. That is literally it. Yes, obviously free trade schools as well, but we invest in the brains of Americans because the vultures are openly eating them. The zombies are after our brains. And if we care about actually educating the future of this country so that people are not so duped by, like, I mean, Fauci's right. Look, people aren't thinking clearly because they're in a cult. You might be in a cult if, right? Like, there's a global pandemic and you are convinced, despite all the evidence, that a vaccine doesn't work. So the answer is just investing in education and teachers and getting people the tools to even understand facts. People now are like, facts somehow are politicized and they feel attacked by them. Like, oh my God, how dare you hurt me with your facts? Mm-hmm. Like, no. Education and information aren't there to hurt you. It's there to help you.
Yeah, there was a guy on one of the news networks who was like, you know, they're not seeing the evidence. They're just seeing attacks. They're being called ignorant.
Yeah.
And like, so first of all, I thought facts don't care about your feelings. I thought that was the conservative thing. They're not all soft-hearted like lefties. They just take the actual evidence. Well, apparently not. And also that I don't even know which guy that was, but it was absolute BS. There has been all of the evidence that's needed has been put out there. We unfortunately have a very large, well-funded, influential media operation that doesn't give a damn about that. And by the way, why does this matter? Well, I want you to take a look at this picture. It's a fun little curve. And what's that curve? Oh, it's the COVID test positivity rate jumping up once again. It's doubled in the past couple weeks. And new cases are up 66% in the past week, with infection rates rising in 36 states. Not everywhere, because quite a few places are very well vaccinated. But in some places, like Louisiana, a lot of these southern, more conservative states, you are seeing cases go up once again. I believe Missouri is actually like the COVID capital of the US right now. So it matters. It matters.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump to a different topic. CPAC is a great spot to try to build a reputation for yourself, try to get a little bit of like traction. And Lauren Boebert wants some of that. Here is her best shot.
We're here to tell government, we don't want your benefits. We don't want your welfare. Don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci ouchie. You leave us the hell alone.
Okay, so there was an awkward pause between her turn for the applause before the applause finally started, and that was uncomfortable. But in her defense, she seemed totally unaware that that was happening because she was smiling like she had just nailed this thing. Okay, what do you think? In the like the sort of Sarah Palin school of conservative female grift, how do you rate that? How's she doing?
I mean, I thought Honey Boo Boo did it better. If we're going strictly with like which toddler deserves the tiara, I feel like her walk was too rehearsed. Her lines were very rehearsed. And, you know, I think there are other children who deserve this more.
I think, yeah, you're just smile through it is like rule one of the pageant world. So she got that. But
yeah,
no, it was.
There wasn't
was
a lot of.
Spinny. It gave me strong cinema vibes, actually. Like, I expect your Fauci ouchie, meh. Like, I expected one of those. And
Fauci,
also,
Fauci ouchie.
She said Fauci ouchie.
She said ouchie. But now, are we not getting vaccinated because it hurts? It ouchie? I thought you were ouchie, all alpha. Like I'm an alpha male. I'm a big, strong man. No, come out with me with the Fauci ouchie.
Like, she's saying, we don't want the vaccine, which, look, if you're gonna take that stance, that is a serious thing. You're saying the best defense we have against something that's killed over 600,000 Americans, we don't want, we're gonna turn against it.
She's
and the way you communicate that is, we don't want your Fauci ouchie. Are you a baby? Like, I don't wanna speak like Donald Trump, but are you a little baby? That's something you joke about, but you're not joking right now. You're saying, this is your big applause line. This is super serious. Why are you saying Fauci ouchie? Anyway, yeah, that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
That just wasn't very good. But she did try to make a substantive point there, aside from the Fauci ouchie and the weird spins and everything. She tried to say, we don't want your welfare. We don't want your government assistance and all that. So there are a few factual issues with that, which we'll turn to. But first, I do want to allow someone to respond to that who's a little bit better at combining substance and flair. So that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who responded to that video saying, tell him loud and proud, girl, GOP will strip your unemployment protections and dismantle any semblance of a public safety net we have left. Then make working people pay more for everything on low wages while Wall Street gets a meal ticket. Good old conservative values, baby. That's pretty good. That is, I think, a fairly fair representation of what she is very vaguely alluding to, that government assistance is bad, welfare is bad. AOC gave examples of some of the forms that come in. That seems fairly fair.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to mention that. Look, we understand that, and AOC says this a lot, not enough Democrats say it, that like there is no political way that Republicans can revoke Medicare or Social Security at this point. These were programs that were called socialist back in the day when they were passed, and there was a huge campaign against them, and now people love them and they wouldn't want benefits cut. And that's sort of where you get into the weeds with even Trump voters. And especially Trump voters who, you know, remember that Trump, no matter how much we all saw through it, said he would get something better than Obamacare to the American people, things like that. You know, was very wishy-washy on whether he would ever cut Medicare or Social Security. And when he did, like, did not make a big deal of it, was very, very under the table. But obviously that is the part of the Republican platform. That is part of it. So anytime that we can remind conservatives of that, that I think is really, that's important.
Yeah.
And Boebert's doing our job for us, right?
Well, by making a really sloppy, bad version of their argument. The reason she doesn't like what AOC said there is because it makes her look ridiculous. But also, like, she wants to say vaguely, these things are bad. She does not want to have to say which specific ones, because that is going to really turn off a lot of voters.
Yes.
They want it to be vague. And so AOC calling her out and making it specific is really going to annoy her and fluster her, as you'll see in her response to AOC. So take a look at this. Look at the lack of consistency in this one tweet. So she says, oh, please, Sandy. Sandy is what they call Alexandria because Tucker Carlson does it. Why? I ask him, I have no idea. Ask Abuela how that government reliance is going. Nobody is taking safety nets away. Growing up in a Democrat household, I stood in line for bread and government cheese. I want more for your grandma, just as I did for me. Don't limit the American dream. So she says, ask Abuela how that government reliance is going, insulting AOC's sick grandmother, then goes on to say that her family had been reliant on the government, and apparently, thank God it was there. Because if you are eating government cheese, you need that government cheese. So Abuela's bad for government reliance. I was good, but I don't want you to have it anymore. And then says, don't limit the American dream. You know what limits the American dream? Not having the government cheese you apparently desperately need. If you need this food and don't have it, that's gonna really limit your dreams right there. And all of that was in one tweet.
What, like, no, that is insane. And can we just, there is a pattern. Many conservatives I've spoken to who are like, I'm against government welfare. I was on it. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, that's why I'm completely against it. Like, and 9 times out of 10, I'm not saying ubiquitously, 9 times out of 10, those people are white. And those people generally just don't want people of color to be on welfare. Just wanna, you know, again, double, triple down on the Reagan stereotype of the so-called welfare queen who's got a bunch of kids and drives a Cadillac. It is so racist. We really cannot skim over just how racist the narrative is. Every time a white person is like, well, I use government benefits, right? And that's why I'm against them. Yep. Like, so you mean you're special? Or you've got like a special gene that like allows you to excel, but other people on welfare don't excel? What are you actually saying right now? It's infuriating.
That's why it's vague, because then the people in the CPAC audience can fill in the gaps and be like, well, obviously she doesn't mean people like us. She means other people and they're not in this room. Anyway, I want to give AOC a chance to respond to the attack against her grandmother. She tweeted back, "Thank you for proving to the world that today's version of conservative role model is a person who mocks other people's ill grandparents on the internet. I can promise you I will treat your family better than you do mine, and I'll fight for your constituents more too." That is objectively the case. Oh, by the way, let's talk about the actual fact. So she says, "We don't need no government assistance. We don't want it." Well, actually, her county did as a congresswoman. Mesa County businesses received more than 4,500 loans through Paycheck Protection Program. And new claims from Colorado residents applying for federal pandemic unemployment assistance have nearly doubled since late May and tripled since the 1st of May, according to the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. So are those bad people? Those people who desperately need unemployment assistance, those businesses that desperately need the government to help keep them afloat during these terrible times? Apparently there's something wrong with them, some moral weakness or something, that they're accepting this aid that nobody else needs, except in her own words, she and her family did when she was young. But somebody's bad, I guess. Anyway, really, you know what? We're skipping it. The next two graphics, the nonsense with the Nazis. By the way, so my point was going to be Marjorie Greene got in trouble for comparing people who might have to take vaccines against their will to the Jews in the Holocaust. Now everybody does it. She did it. Madison Cawthorn is doing it. They're all just saying that it's Nazis. So we've moved fast as a country. CPAC conducted their big straw poll. Who is going to be the 2024 candidate? Who do they love now in conservative circles? Well, we'll have those results for you coming up. But in advance of them coming out, there was a bit of attempting to control the narrative. Here's a face you might recognize.
By the way, you have a poll coming out. Unfortunately, I want to know what it is. You know they do that straw poll, right? Now, if it's bad, I say it's fake. If it's good, I say that's the most accurate poll perhaps ever.
Okay, so that's him being charming for a conservative or whatever. He's joking, and he is joking. But like, he's also being completely honest. So like, the people in the audience are laughing and they're like, "Ha ha, Trumpy, that's funny." But he does actually do that to literally every poll. That's a weird area of comedy. So I'll turn to the comedian, Francesca. When you joke about something, but you're also being completely honest, and the audience likes it as a joke, but won't acknowledge the truth, that's weird comedic territory.
It is. I mean, look, I've been there. I've like dunked on the entire audiences being like, "You guys are full or trash. Like this audience sucks." You know, like everyone here is a rich douche. And they're like, "Yeah." Like that does happen. I'm not going to say it doesn't. People like when you sort of say outlandish things about them, especially when they will make far more money than you ever will in your lifetime. But this is not that case. This is a very, there's a razor thin difference between the joke that he said there and what he has been saying for a year now about the election, right? You know, heads I win, tails you lose, that kind of thing. And that now he's just openly lauding it. And people, and that I think is, it doesn't matter that it's illogical, or it doesn't matter that he's revealing his hand about his like dirty secret about how he just lies to people. It's super strongman stuff. It's like relishing in the fact that you use propaganda and you lie to people. That is typical strongman stuff. And if you're in a cult, you don't care what the cult leader has to do to stay in power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of scary and dark when the cult leader realizes I can say whatever I want to these people. But I feel like even in most cults, they're not supposed to say that to the cultists.
Right.
Like that's mean. Not to me, like he doesn't care about
me. If he said the thing about money, like it wasn't about money. If he was like, "You know, and then I send you the emails and then you check the boxes and then we just charge your credit card like six times." If he had gone there, I know he does that. They do that.
No, I know he does it in reality. I feel like he could have told that joke. And like,
maybe.
I think he's got a hold. Well, let's find out how much of a hold he has on them. So that straw poll did actually happen. So Trump held a commanding lead with 70% of those who responded saying they would vote for him in the Republican primary if it were held today. Ron DeSantis came in second with 21%.
Ooh.
So that's with Trump in. When you poll them without Trump, you don't put him on the ballot, DeSantis gets 68% of the vote. So DeSantis without Trump gets virtually the exact same support as Trump gets, which is obviously good news for DeSantis. Seems like it's going to be a little bit annoying to Donald Trump, though. And by the way, one extra little bit here with that one without Trump, they put a bunch of other names on there as well. Rand Paul, Nikki Haley, Ted Cruz, Tucker Carlson, Kristi Noem, and Mike Pompeo all received 1% of the poll. Oh, this is with Trump. So with Trump, they get basically no support. And apparently, Tucker Carlson gets like the same level of support that Mike Pompeo does, which that's interesting. I wouldn't necessarily predict that. I wonder if that's a CPAC thing. Like, would regular conservatives be more influenced by seeing him every night and knowing his name maybe a little bit more? I wonder.
It's a straw poll, John.
Yeah.
Okay. The fresh hail that awaits us in 2024 is yet unwritten. And my God.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got one more bit of fresh hell that I want to get.
But we will be doing bets, placing bets. I will put a solid $30 on somebody. What, like, about who we think is gonna, who we think is gonna be the nominee.
The Republican nominee? Do you want to make a bet right now?
I don't know if I've thought about it enough. It's not gonna be Carlson, it's not gonna be Noem, it's not gonna
is
be.
Is it gonna be Trump?
I actually, 2024? Yes. Yeah. 2024, yes.
Okay.
Because they're idiots.
I think so. As of right now, at least, that doesn't seem like a great bet. I think a better bet would be, will there even be a Republican primary? Will anyone go up against? Remember, there almost wasn't a Democratic one in 2016. Like, it was like Bernie and a couple of chuckleheads going up against.
If Trump is in, there won't be. There's no way anyone can win against Trump.
Yeah.
But there is a way, if he's not in, to then, you know, fawn over, because Trump will not endorse anyone who's not him.
Yeah.
Even if he's incapacitated from a breakfast buffet at a golf course and he cannot move for months, he will not, he doesn't even want his own family members running. Doesn't want Ivanka running, doesn't want anyone except himself running. Yeah. And this is the thing, I don't get this, why we're always like, oh, the media is like, oh, the coveted Trump endorsement. Yeah, how'd that work out in Georgia?
That's true.
How did
doesn't count. It's something to do with Mitch McConnell. It doesn't count. It only counts if it works. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we'll think more about the bet. We'll come up with something. Anyway, okay. We're gonna go to a break for now. If there's time at the end of the show, Trump, it's like the thing that he talks about that gets most under my skin, he brought it up again. So we might come back to that if there's time, but we're gonna move on from CPAC. We're gonna take a break and come back with more after this. Okay, things are about to get even weirder up in here. It's very rare that one of our garbage people of the week makes news the next week, basically, but we've got that. My garbage person was a woman who had been harassing an Asian man who was walking his dog in Manhattan, trying to get the dog hit by a car. That video is up on our channel if you want to see that. She's actually back again in a video harassing, apparently, more Asian people. Take a look.
Don't yell at me.
I will yell at you.
Keep walking.
What's crazy? There's no dog on the grass.
Oh my gosh.
Keep filming. We can be here all day.
You're overreacting, Karen.
The dog is not on a leash. And oh, you can't read English, apparently. Let's go read.
Why? Because I'm Asian? Are you racist?
You can't read English.
Are you racist? Are you racist?
Oh, apparently you don't have to do anything that Americans have to do. Okay, so you can't read.
Why don't you go yell at other people that have dogs on the grass?
I can't understand a word you say.
Speaking English?
Because apparently you don't know that you have to have a leash on your dog.
It's the same woman. It's the same crazy woman. She might be the ultimate Karen because she just goes out all day, every day, to mess with people, non-white people generally. This is apparently an Asian American who she declares is not American, Francesca. This woman, and by the way, we had already alluded to, she was filmed harassing these skateboarders, trying to stop them. Like, she never takes a day off from Karening.
And this happens all the time. I mean, thinking about the instances that are not being filmed, because it does take a lot of bravery to actually take out your phone and film. You know, everyone has been in a situation where tensions are running high, and you're like, I can only imagine how much her heart was racing, feeling like she was being accosted for no reason because she was Asian. And immediately saying other Americans.
Yeah.
You know, can you not read because you don't speak English? She's talking to you in English. And I like, it is deeply painful and just fascinating. First of all, a lot of anti-Asian hate and anti-Asian hate crimes have been mischaracterized as happening by people of color against Asians, like by Black Americans against Asian Americans. That's not actually true. The majority of hate crimes against Asians have been done by white people. So let's just dispel that. And here you have someone, and this is the other thing, it's like, it can range from stabbing to assaulting to, you know, to following. But then there's just this like rando tennis lady, tennis Karen. Go to tennis. Go play tennis. What are you doing? And like, that's the other thing, is like, I'm scratching my head. And maybe people who know folks like this can comment and understand the psyche. Is this someone with a mental health issue? Is this someone, or is this just a racist, right? And why are we doing this? And arguably, like, and this is the thing, I mean, I'm reminded of Sarah Cooper. Sarah Cooper the woman in Central Park against, you know, the bird watcher. And how she like very much projected like a liberal, you know, sentiment, like, oh yeah, that she might have voted for Obama twice. Like, there's a lot of get out energy from these white Karens. There's a lot of like maybe even voted for Hillary energy from these white Karens. And so I ask like my like white liberal, like, you know, folks out there, like, come get your girls, come get your moms, come get your aunties. Like, what are they doing? What are they not happy about? Did you not call them?
I guess everybody has to have a hobby. Some people put together 7-point plans to get Trump reelected. Other people harass strangers in a park all day long. I mean, everybody also wants to go viral. Maybe she's found a shortcut. She knows that she will. Maybe she likes it. Maybe she just delights in the view numbers.
This is her TikTok.
This is her TikTok, unfortunately. And I know that, like, so as we did with the last one, we'll say, look, yes, you're supposed to have your dog on a leash. And let me just follow that up by saying, and I don't care in this context, because having your dog on a leash is not in the same ballpark as racially harassing people, pretending they have accents that they don't, implying that they're not true Americans because you don't like what race or national origin you think they have. When all of that is out there, I stop caring so much about the leashes.
It wasn't Sarah Cooper. Sarah Cooper's a wonderful comic. It's Amy Cooper is her name. I apologize.
Okay, there you go. And you talked about the woman, like, she must have been scared with this woman coming there. Yeah, she had a tennis racket. And we know that a lot of this anti-Asian American harassment in New York City results in people beating the person that they're harassing or attempting to kill them, as has happened. So that woman with her tennis racket could have been hitting this woman with her tennis racket at any time. And by the way, like, we've now covered this woman twice, maybe we'll in the future. But there's like a little kernel inside of me that's thinking, is she gonna shoot someone someday? Is she gonna knife someone someday? Like, at what point is just shouting at them not enough for a woman so driven by racial animus? I hope that I'm wrong. I hope it never gets any worse than it is now, as bad as it already is. But I am a little bit worried about that. Like, people move on from like domestic violence to murder, like stalking to worse. Like, that is how people work. And so I'm worried about this woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a racist ecosystem and an anti-Asian ecosystem. But I think which I think is important to recognize, because when there are mass shootings, I think that, you know, hashtag not all Karens are like, you know, would support something like that. But it is important to see the different gradations and the different levels of violence, like harassing someone in a park. you know, like calling them not American for no reason other than the fact that they're Asian, because it allows us to see that slippery slope and understand that ecosystem of hate.
Yeah. By the way, Megan in the chat says she got her white belt in Karanate.
Wow. Jesus.
It definitely would be a white belt. Okay, with that, I think we have time for our last story. So let's move on to that. And I love the producer had like a suggested intro line. You normally don't use this, but I have to because it's too good. I don't know who wrote this, but I love it. I think it might have been Marissa. I'm not sure. Okay. America, land of the free, home of the brave, and also home of this guy who tried and was humiliated in failing to steal a stranger's pride flag. He walked all the way over. He's jogging. He sees the flag and he thinks something must be done. But I don't want to be filmed, so I'm gonna wrap my pink shirt around my head, and I think I can get this thing. He couldn't do it. He tried. He really put his knees into it.
Oh man, he needs like a he needs like a butch lesbian to help him take that flag down.
Well, he needs help. That's true. He needs help in some form. So the woman, it was in Phoenix, by the way, the woman who had hung the flag put up a second video explaining sort of the process that went into thief proofing it. So let's move to that.
So a couple people have asked me how I'm hanging up my pride flag right here, and it's real simple. So on the other side of the garage door, I just have a carabiner and some screw-in post.
Politics. You would think like it's 2021. That guy is like so confident that he will in full broad daylight try to take that, to be stymied by a carabiner. Like it's right there. Like has he never encountered this technology before? No, he had nothing.
I don't get being fragile. I mean, and he seems like a young guy, right? That I think is the most surprising thing about it.
He did look young, yes.
Yeah, that like a young kid would try to take down someone's pride flag. Like I just imagine if your neighbors were, if you had those neighbors, and it happens all the time. I think that a lot of people who've, I had a friend who had like a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker, and someone spilled an entire gallon of white paint all over their car.
Oh.
Yeah. So it happens all the time, and people who, you know, live in like, you know, red, blue, sort of purple districts and cities encounter this a lot. And I think that that shows that it isn't a certain act of bravery to display your pride flag, you know?
Even now.
Yeah, even now. Somehow even now.
By the way, so I said this guy was stymied by the carabiner, and apparently that was an unfair attack against him, because there's a lot of comments in the chat that are like, hey, the carabiner was inside, he couldn't reach it, be nice to him. Okay. He's super smart, this homophobe.
Yeah.
In another circumstance, he totally would have thrown down the flag.
Not strong, but smart.
Anyway, is there any, like obviously we would not want to do this. Is there any flag that you could see hanging that would lead you in full broad daylight to go onto someone's property and try to tear it down?
I mean, look, ISIS, it doesn't live in my hood.
That's true.
I definitely wouldn't touch it though. Look, I'm not a fan of the thin blue line American flag. Mm-hmm. It's creepy, fascist adjacent, and I do not like it. So, but that being said, I'm also very scared of whoever would put that up. So I don't know if I would touch it.
That's also true. Anyway, yeah, no, I don't think like if I saw like a White Lives Matter flag, that would really bother me. But when I go outside, I just try to avoid conversations with people. I'm not going on anyone's property. Anyway, we are rapidly running out of time in our first hour. So to our linear audience, thank you so much for watching. Sophie, how much time do we have? I thought it was about, oh, we do, okay. Well, we do have more coming though. Meanwhile, it's coming up on YouTube and on Twitch. So if you're watching on there, please stay tuned, as well as some other news as well. We'll see you after this short break.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.